Oh, that's a good one. Whew, I love that one. All right, tonight, if y'all would, please turn in your Bible to James chapter 1. James chapter number 1. If everybody would please stand in the honor of reading God's word tonight. James chapter 1 starts out in verse 1 says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Dear Lord, we thank you and praise you for this day that you have given us. And Lord, we praise you and thank you for the opportunity you have given us to come and fellowship and worship you, Lord. Lord, tonight we are here to honor you. And Lord, everything that I say, Lord, I want it to honor you, Lord. And I pray that you would help me and guide me. Lord, help everybody to understand. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so I never could really figure out a title for my message tonight. But if I was to give a title, it would be The Reason God Gives Us Trials. The Reason God Gives Us Trials. Now, trials and temptations are two very similar things, but at the same time, they're two very different things. The definition of temptation is the act of tempting, enticements to evil by arguments, by flattering, or by the offer of some real or apparent good. Now, the definition of trial is any effort or exertion of strength, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, for the purpose of ascertaining its effect or what can be done. So they're very similar, but at the same time, they're not. So with the definition of trial, there were three different words that I picked out that I would also like to give with it. The first one is examination. When God gives us trials, it's an examination of our lives. So the definition of examination is the act of examining a careful search or inquire with a view to discover truth or the real state of things, careful and accurate inspection of what a thing and its parts. So when God gives us a trial, he examines us, he tests us, and he goes through our lives to see how we're going to react to this trial that he gives us. So a trial is also an experiment. So the experiment is the act of examining by experience. The definition of experiment is a trial, an act or operation designed to discover some unknown truth, principle, or effect, or to establish it when discovered. So God wants us to discover for ourselves what we are capable of. And the third one is experience. The definition of experience is suffering that puts strength, patience, or faith to the test. Afflictions or temptations that exercise and prove the graces and virtues of men. As we can see here, trials and temptations are very different. Also, I have 5.5 pages of notes tonight, just letting y'all know. Also, two very big differences is the devil gives you temptations and God gives you trials. The devil tempts you to try and draw you away from God. God gives you trials to draw you closer to God. For the devil to tempt us, he must ask permission, though, from God first, just like he did with Job. The devil went straight to God first to ask what he can do to Job. And God said, you can take everything but his life. Correct? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation taking you, but such as in common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. God never gives Satan permission to tempt you with more than what you can handle. God will always provide an escape route for you when temptations do come. There will always be an escape route. I'm sure that each and every one of you have failed God, and you've looked back at it, and you've said, man, I could have went through that little weep hole there that God made for me, but I didn't. When Satan tempts you, that is his attempt to destroy you mentally, physically, and spiritually. The devil wants to destroy your relationship with God, your parents, your friends, and your family. He will do everything that he can to destroy your relationships. Amen. He wants you to be alone. Now, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who he may devour. The devil tries to destroy us with temptation. God gives us trials to make us stronger. The devil uses temptation to bring out the bad in us. God uses trials to bring out the best in us. God does not bring trials in our life because he's bored or because he just wants something to do. Everything God does in your life, he does it for a purpose and he does it for a reason. When something does happen, we have to examine our life first. When something happens to me, I should firstly examine my life and examine what's going on in my life, if I have any sins in my life that I'm holding back, because you could be robbing yourself of a blessing. Who are we to expect God's blessing on us when we're walking with the world, talk like the world, and act like the world? That's not Christ-like, because that's not what Christ did when he was on earth. To have God's blessing on our life, we must walk with him, talk with him, and especially listen to him. That's the part I don't like. My dad will agree. Amen. As you can see. Back to examining our lives, we must make sure that there's nothing interfering with our relationship with God between you and God. You must make sure that there's nothing interfering with you. You cannot examine your life and your doings on your terms and your beliefs. You must examine your life on what the Bible says. Amen. If you examine your life, yourself, and you find no transgressions, then you must dig deeper and find the purpose on why God has given you this trial. And just letting you know, it is not wrong to ask God why. Because honestly, if we didn't, how would we ever know the purpose of the trial that God has given us? When you discipline your child, not that I would know anything about discipline, you tell them what they did wrong. I mean, you're not just going to take your child out to the woodshed and take care of business and not tell them what you did. Same thing here. If we do not learn anything from the trials we face, how will we ever better ourselves and better our relationship with God? God always wants the good for us in trials. Trials are meant to bring the good out of us. That's just the introduction. Point number one tonight is God tests us with trials so we can be of better service. God tests us with trials so he can develop us, bring out the best in us. If you would, well, James, you're already there. James 1:3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Oh, I hate that word. Patience. I don't like that word at all. We as Christians, we must have patience in this life. Pray. Always remember, we are on God's time and not our time. I don't like that. But something we got to do. Because, you know, when I want something now. And God says later, you know what I mean? And you know, y'all shaking y'all's heads, y'all know exactly what I mean. I mean, I'm going to buy the dealerships and I'm seeing these brand new 2025 Chevy Silverados there. I'm like, God, I want that right now. But my bank account says no. But we must have patience in this life to deal, to do God's work. And my second point in point number one is perfection. James 1:4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So with patience comes perfection. And we all know that God is all about perfection. He is perfect to a T. With patience comes perfection. If you want God, He will make, if you wait on God, sorry, He will make sure that His timing is perfect. Just like with cooking. I mean, if you go in there to cook a chicken and you cook it too short, you're going to get salmonella or some disease. See, with God's timing, it's just like cooking. You got to cook it just right. Medium rare. James chapter, my third little point is to develop praying. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to man, to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God wants us talking to him all the time because he loves us so much. He does not want us to only talk to him when we're going through a trial. I've caught myself plenty of times praying more than when I go through a trial than when life's going perfectly fine. But that's not right. That's not fair to our Lord and Savior to only call him when we have a problem. If anything, we should be praising him more than we ask. After all, he did save us from dying and going to a devil's hell for eternity. Amen. When you wake up every morning and have to go to work, you should be praising him for going to work. You should be praising him that you have the ability to get out of bed and go to work. Amen. To be able to have a job to make money and provide for your family. You should be praising him every day. But no, a lot of people are waking up every morning, oh, having these back pains again, got to go to work. Gosh, I mean, you can't be going through life like that. You've got to get up saying, all right, we get to go to work, we get to make money today, we get to provide for our family, and we get to witness to our coworkers today. We are all blessed by God. We are not lucky. I've caught myself several times using the word luck, and I try not to use the word luck because a lot of people don't know, but the word luck originates from Hinduism. So, with you saying lucky, you're observing another religion. Just making y'all aware of that. So, I like to stick around with saying that I am blessed, because I truly am blessed to be able to wake up every morning and get to serve my Savior. My point number two tonight is God tests us with things to display through us a Christ similarity, if that makes sense. If you would, please turn to Romans 8. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, verses 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And if you would, turn back one page to verse 18, Romans 8, 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So, my first mini point under point number two is the incidents. While God has forgiven us of our, I have three mini points here, which is the incidents, the image, and the process involved. The first one is the incidents, and that is talking about your life, the incidents in your life. While God has forgiven and forgotten our past, we still remember our past, but God forgets them. He does not remember them. Thank God. We still remember, and we are still sinners, each and every one of us, and nobody is worthy of getting into heaven. Point number two, the image. Romans 8:29, we just read that. Let's read it one more time. It says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Here we see the beginnings of Jesus. Talking about Jesus Christ here. So when we go through these trials, other people are watching and watching very carefully at how you react. So that's what, that's, and watch what, ha, sorry. People are watching you whenever you go through your trials. And they're wanting to watch how you react because you're a Christian. And if you slip up one time, they're going to come right at you. But if you do it perfectly, they ain't going to say a word to you. Whenever we do go through these trials, we should be happy. And we should be giving joy to the Lord. You're over here struggling and happy, and people are going to say, "That's the kind of happiness that I want. That's what I want, is when I'm going through the tough times, is I want happiness." And then that's your opportunity to share the Lord. And then my third mini point is the process involved. And verse 28 goes, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." If you constantly pray over your life and ask God to guide you, people will notice a big difference in your life and your walk with God. That's the most important thing you can do as a Christian, is spread God's word and make it known to other people. My third point tonight is God tests us with thorns to demonstrate to us Christ's sufficiency. If you would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. "Have I committed an offense in abusing myself that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them." I'm in chapter 11. Whoops. Yeah, that wasn't right. Okay, chapter 12, in verses 7 through 9. "Unless I should be exalted." Is that right? Okay. "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glorify in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Little backstory here. We are seeing Paul here, and God has given him a thorn. I've done a little research, and I believe it was because Paul had bad eyesight, I believe, but don't quote me on that. Why did God give Paul a thorn here? Well, my first mini point is the purpose of the thorn, which is verse 7. "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Why did God give Paul a thorn here? To keep him humble, so that he would not overexalt himself. I think a lot more people need thorns to humble themselves in this world today. Right? Yeah. So the purpose of this thorn was to keep Paul humble and not overexalt himself, and so that he could give more glory to God. Point number two is prayer for the thorn's removal. Verse number 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. Paul asked God to remove the thorn 3 times, and God simply said no. But God did give him a way out. God gave Paul the strength to deal with this thorn. Now, I think that we have been through our lives many, many times, and we have prayed and asked God for this one thing, and we think that God doesn't hear us, but God simply is saying no. But we keep on praying and praying and praying, and then eventually God's going to give it to you, and you ain't going to like it. God has had a reason to not remove the thorn. Same with us. We pray, and God says no, but we think he's not listening. My third mini point is the prophet of the thorn. God gave Paul grace and strength to deal with this thorn, and Paul gladly accepted the Lord's strength and his grace. Yes, you may ask God to remove the thorn, but he might say no. Then if he does, you may ask for the strength to deal with those thorns. With that thorn, we can show other people how good our God really is. Paul gives God all the glory, and he stays humble. And the presence of the Lord gives him strength, just like Samson. Samson was nothing without the presence of the Lord. Me personally, this is my personal belief, I believe Samson was weak, very, very weak. I believe he was a little scrawny man, a little scrawnier than my brother. But honestly, seriously, I believe that Samson was a scrawny man. People were amazed at his strength in the Bible. You can read about him. People were amazed at his strength. And if you see some big, strong guy like me, then you're not going to be amazed by my strength. Oh. Point number 4 tonight is, this is my last point. God tests us with tribulations to get us closer to Christ's side. John 16:33, if you would please turn there. John 16:33. It says, these things I have spoken unto you, right?
Yes.
Okay. That in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
Amen.
Another meaning for tribulation is pressure. The definition of pressure is a constraining force or impulse that which urges or compels the intellectual. It's a $50 word out of 50 cent mouth. Or moral faculties, as the pressure of motives on the mind or a fear of the conscience. So, my point number A is the self-life that draws us away, which is the world, correct? That draws us away from Christ is the world. We have all gone out into this world and faced tribulations, hard times, and defeat. Our flesh in this world draws us away from God and the more towards worldly things, which is against God's word. And then it sends us back to God with our tails tucked. My last point is the Savior's love that draws us back. Yes. Savior's love that draws us back. His pressure, which is tribulations, his proclamations, be of good cheer, which we just read, and his provision is, I have overcome the world. If you would, please turn to 1 John 4:5, making y'all use your Bibles tonight. 1 John 4, verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Now, turn to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen right there. We can overcome any mountain or valley if we are right by God's side. And he will put you through tribulations to get you closer. Just look at what he did with Job. He took everything from Job. Job is a perfect example right here. He took everything from Job, and Job, what happened to Job? He got closer to the Lord. Amen. Christ learned obedience through suffering. So do we. Christ learned opposition through suffering. Through suffering, so do we. And Christ learned opportunity through suffering, and so do we. And that concludes my sermon tonight.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Right on time. Amen. That's it. That's good. Hey, don't worry about giving them the wrong text and reading another one. I do it all the time. Yeah. See, it checks to see if they're really reading in their Bible. You know, it's just like you couldn't have gave yourself away. You should have said, I'm just seeing if y'all were paying attention. They'd think you did it on purpose. Hey, good job. Good job, Trevor. Appreciate you coming and doing that. Now you can go ahead and take a breath or two, you know, like, huh? Got it in there. We appreciate that. Amen. Good to see young people getting into ministry, and I like to support that. And like I said, being I was part of the family here almost, I really might as well say, been through it all, amen. And so we thank you for that, and you heard, and that, and most of us can, we understand that. You know, we understand these, we pray for God to remove the thorn instead of God to give us strength to deal with the thorn, you know, And that's really the key to it, you know. We want the mountain removed instead of the strength to climb it. Ain't that right, Randy? he didn't move none of them mountains, but you know, we don't look at what God's doing through the things, you know, the right way, and that's right on the money with that. You know, there's persecution. I mean, obviously God's not going to persecute us, but the trials, and it's really for our knowledge. You know, God knows. He already knows what we're going to do, but we don't know what we're going to do, and God wants you to know what you're going to do, that you're going to have to depend him. And so, you know, amen, that's it, right from the word of God. That's what we need to hear, and we appreciate them coming in, and both Bradley, appreciate the piano playing, and Trevor, the preaching and the singing. Y'all were, you know, you got a team going on here. You know, Billy Graham, he had, what was the guy's name that sang?
George Beverly Shea.
See, you got Bradley Young. So he'll be with you along the way. Amen. All right. Well, you know, you've heard the word, and you know, we don't do the convicting. We don't do, you know, God's the one that speaks to your heart as the word goes forth. And so, Paul, you come up and lead the invitation. If God spoke to your heart, you know, you come. And, oh, we got to get a little more out of him.
All right. Well, I think the pastor hit it right. What a team, I tell you what. Bradley and
all right,
Trevor.
George, go ahead.
Good job. yeah, there you go. That's a great ministry. I tell you, God blesses. We're going to sing an invitation tonight. The altar will be open. Hymn 308, I Surrender All. Let's stand together.
Amen.